Come on, let's pray. Father, we come around your word. I ask you, God, help me. Lord, I'm asking you to help me to speak this word as I know you gave it to me. Help us, Lord, to hear it and receive it. And everybody said, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, you sung like an angel today. Come on, just when you were singing, I honestly thought it was an angel. Just say that. Say, I seriously thought that was an angel. Now, I'm going to need your cooperation today. Are you going to flow with me? Now, the 8:30 service, I've got to be honest with you, as I was preaching, they were listening more than they were responding. And that's all good, the listening part. But how many know you're the clever service? You're the ambidextrous service. You can listen and you can give an amen every now and again. Amen? All right, not just the one guy, amen. All of us together receiving the amen, receiving the word. And I really have a word in my heart for us today. Sharon and I were at ILM this last week. We were there in Arizona, Scottsdale. It was 122 degrees. It was awful. Honestly, it's purgatory. It's the closest thing to hell I've ever been to that you pray you get out of. How anybody lives there in that weather is beyond me. Dear God, we played golf. Would you believe that? At 122 degrees. I didn't want to play golf. And that's saying something. If you know me, not wanting to play golf, that in and of itself is a moment. But praise the Lord, had a great time. I heard at that getaway, someone just opened up the scripture and it so spoke to me, I felt the Holy Spirit want me to download it today. Is that cool? So everybody say, there's something about nothing. How many know God is brilliant of making something out of nothing? And God doesn't just make something, he makes everything amazing, doesn't he? Think about it. Imagine if there was nothing. There had not yet been anything created. And God in his infinite wisdom and of his infinite power imagined and created this world just with his imagination, just with his words. The Bible says in the beginning was God. Amen? That's why it's biblical to play baseball, in the beginning. Come on, that's funny right there. That's worth a little courtesy laugh. Amen. I shared with the staff yesterday about, you know, did you know the Bible talks about cannibalism? I said it's found in 2 Kings 8:1. See, you laughed on that one. Some of you just shaking your head going, that's bad. Some of you in about 5 minutes are going to go, oh, 2 Kings 8:1, oh, I get it. All right. In the beginning was God, and the Bible says, and the earth, the Bible says, was formless, was empty, was chaos, was dark, and there was nothing. It says it was empty. So it's like, imagine if you're going to get a jar of M&Ms and you put your hand in and there's none left. It's empty. And so empty means nothing. And the Bible says there was nothing, but God spoke to the nothingness, and God said, let there be light. Poof, the sun appeared. God is brilliant at making something out of nothing. Maybe right now you feel like you don't have a lot of things going on in your life. Can I tell you, you're in the greatest place for a miracle of them all. God can make something out of nothing. God can, maybe you feel like in terms of your life, you're a nobody, but God can make somebody out of a nobody. God is brilliant at working with nothing and doing something amazing. So 2 Kings 18, verse 41, it says, Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's a sound of heavy rain. Everybody say heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. He bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Go toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went and looked, and there's nothing there. He said, there's nothing. Come on, everybody say, there is nothing. Come on, I want all of our campuses here. We got Norfolk today, we got Chesapeake, we got Seaboard. Come on, everybody say together, there is nothing. And it says, and he said to the servant 7 times, go back. And so Elijah said, go back. And the 7th time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And then Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose and a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode out to Jezreel. I love it because Elijah says to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's the sound of heavy rain. If you're looking for another title for this message, it's this: Here Comes the Rain. And I believe God is wanting to speak to you about your life. And I believe God's wanting to speak to us at Wave Church prophetically. This is a prophetic word. This whole message, I believe, is a prophecy. And I want to declare it to you today. There's a sound of heavy rain on the horizon. The drought is broken in Jesus' name. Maybe you don't yet see the rain, but can I tell you, Elijah said, I hear the sound of heavy rain. You got to hear it before you're ever going to see it. You got to catch it in your inner man, and you got to declare it, and you got to declare what you're believing God for in the midst of the drought, in the middle of the barrenness. And Elijah says, go tell Ahab, get ready. I hear the sound of heavy, not just a little shower, not a little sprinkle, but I hear the sound of abundant rain. Come on, somebody say amen. I want to break it down for you. I want to prophesy over you. I want to prophesy over your job. I want to prophesy over your health. I want to speak to you about your family. I want to speak to you about what it is you believe God's called you to do. And maybe right now you feel like, I'm trying, I'm doing everything I can, but I just haven't yet got the breakthrough. I believe God's speaking to me to tell you, I hear the sound of rain. The drought is about to break in Jesus' name. If you were sitting there and you feel like you're not yet where you want to be, and you feel like you're stuck, and I'm preaching that, you ought to be shouting amen right now. I hear the sound of heavy rain in that marriage, in that child away from God. I hear the sound of heavy, get ready. God is about to break the drought. The sun is rising. There is a new day. There is breakthrough. Barrenness is over. Come on. The Bible says, Elijah says, I hear. The Bible says in Mark 4, verse 9, and he said to them, he who has an ear, let him hear. Do you know, we need to hear it, listen to this, in our spirit man. An ear that has, he that has an ear, let him hear. It's not just hearing here. Watch me, look at this now. It's not just hearing here, it's hearing here. As I'm preaching this morning, some of you are hearing it. But every one of us is hearing it differently than somebody else. You need to hear it in your spirit man. I'm declaring today that I believe the drought is coming to an end. I believe that business is going to see unprecedented breakthrough and favor. I believe that marriage, that family, what it is that God wants to do in and through your life, through your job, I believe the time maybe in sales or in marketing or whatever it is that you do, I believe that something is going to come out of nothing, and you feel like you've been in nothing. You feel like you're in neutral. You feel like you're stuck. But I've come to say today, I hear the sound of heavy rain. So look what he does. Watch this. Come here. Look at this. I got to hold my iPad. I got to get down here for a minute. Here's what Elijah does. He says, okay, go tell Ahab, get ready. It's going to rain. And then the Bible says, look what he does. It says he gets down in a prayer position. And this is what he does. I hear something, but now I got to pray it through. I hear it. I feel like the drought is about to break. It's still a drought. Nothing's changed in the natural, but get ready. I hear it. But now the Bible says he sticks his head between his knees and he prays and he prays and he prays and he prays and he prays. He's teaching, he's birthing something in his spirit. Something he heard in his spirit has resonated, and now he's going to pray it through. And he says to the servant, go and check it out. Have a look, see what's happening. The servant says, there's nothing. But Elijah doesn't care what the servant says. It just hasn't come yet, but it's coming because he heard it and he's going to birth it. Come on, God. Come on, God. I hear the sound of rain. The business is turning. Sales are coming. Clients are coming. That child's coming home. Come on, God. That promotion is there. Come on, God. That house, I'm believing for that person to get saved. I hear it. I just got a birth. Go check. Nothing. go check, 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 nothing. Seven times nothing. Elijah is only more determined every time he go look again. He's not looking for the man to come back and say it's pouring rain. He's looking for any indication that this prayer is finally being birthed. He's not worried about it not happening. He's looking for it. It ain't come yet, but it's coming. Go look again. Go look again. It's coming. It's coming. I heard it. I got it here. It is coming, baby. Amen. I'm birthing this thing. Some of us have got to hear it. And then we got to birth it in prayer. Look what the Bible says here. I'm going to get down off the pulpit. Is that okay? Come on, here we go. Look what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10. Watch this. Praise the Lord. My iPad's being naughty because I normally have it on a little pulpit and it doesn't move. It says in Daniel chapter 10, look at this verse here. And he said, Daniel, you are highly favored and esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. I'm so excited, like I'm jumping ahead of myself. Stand up. For I've been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood trembling. Some of you, I want to tell you something. God's saying to you, stand up. Come on, I'm about to tell you something. Come on, I'm about to tell you something. And he says, and then he continued. He said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day, everybody say the first day. Since the first day you set your mind to gain wisdom and understanding and humble yourself before God, your words have been heard since the first day. Hey, Daniel, you've been praying. You've been praying. You've been praying like Elijah. Go look again. Go look again. Come on. It ain't there yet. I'm still looking for it. Come on. Go look again. Go look again. Here's the angel saying to Daniel, hey, since the first day you set your mind to prayer, I'm on my way. I love it. Look what it says. He goes, I've been coming since the first day in response to your prayer, but the prince of Persian kingdom, which is speaking about the powers of darkness, resisted me for 21 days. Everybody say 21. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. But now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people and for the future and the vision concerning all that is to come. I love it because listen what it says. Listen, 21 days you've been praying, man. But from the very first day, God heard your prayer and he sent me and I've been fighting principalities and powers. The reason the breakthrough, you don't see it yet, is because there are angels fighting on your behalf of the prayer you prayed from the very first day. Come on, get ready. You got to hear it and you got to birth it. I get concerned that we give up too easy. I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be some angels. Okay, come here, I need to talk to you. Okay, you prayed for 7 days, but on the eighth day was the day of breakthrough, but because you gave up on day seven, all that fighting to get to you was worthless because I could never bring you what it was. And so if you just one more day, it would have been there. Some of you just need to hear this. You just need to keep on praying. You just don't lose heart. Well, I mean, we get discouraged too quickly. We give up too easy. We gotta hear it, and then you got to birth it in prayer. Come on, someone say amen. How many times would it take before you'd lose heart? A cloud as small as a man's hand. And that's all Elijah needed. Get ready. Get the chariots ready. I hear the sound of abundant rain. What would it take to encourage you? The total answer? Because I love this. The Bible says when the servant came, he says all he saw was a cloud as small as a man's hand. That's not very big. He goes, but that's all Elijah needed. That's it. It's not the total answer to prayer. It's just a cloud, but that's all Elijah needed. Sometimes we're not encouraged until the whole breakthrough comes. But let me tell you, just a little indication is all Elijah needed for him to be encouraged. All right, it's gonna rain. I heard it. I birthed it. And now I see even the day of a small beginning, just a small indication. But that's all I need. It's going to rain. Maybe for that child. Maybe you're believing God for him to have a God turnaround, and maybe there was just something happened where that child showed some heart, some conscience, some connection toward God. And you're going, God, it's not enough. It's enough. Come on. It's beginning to rain in the name of Jesus. Come on. It's beginning to rain. Come on. He's still alive. She's still alive. They're talking. You're conversing. You're the parent. You're the covering. You're the head. You're the protection. You've got it in prayer. It's going to rain. The drought is, I'm speaking to somebody this morning, but you need to hear it in here. It's going to rain in the name of Jesus. In your job, it's going to rain. I'm speaking prophetically to somebody. Get ready. I hear the sound. Here's the second thing. It says, I hear the sound. I wonder what sounds we hear. Our lives are so filled with noise, we drown out the very voice we want to hear. Have you ever noticed silence is loud? Have you noticed that? What's the first thing you do when you walk into your house and there's no noise? You turn on a radio, you turn on a TV. You've got to get some sort of background noise. I wonder whether we drown out the very voice we want to hear. I wonder what voice you listen to. Matter of fact, let me show you something here. I want to show you a verse in the Bible. How many think the Apostle Paul would be a powerful man of God to sit under his preaching and ministry? How many think the chances of you getting healed would be pretty good if you're sitting under the Apostle Paul's ministry? I want to show you a story in the Bible. There was plenty of people present. There was plenty of people around. Are you hearing me? Come on, are you listening to me? And Paul's preaching, but only one man got healed. Praise the Lord. Only one man got healed in Jesus' name. Look what happens. Only one man heard the Apostle Paul. They all heard Paul, but only one man heard him. Look at what the Bible says, Acts chapter 14, verse 8. In Lystra, there was a man who was lame. He'd been that way from birth. He'd never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. I love that verse because it says Paul was preaching, and he noticed there was one man, as he was preaching to a crowd of people, there was one man who was lame. He was unable to walk from the day he was born. But as Paul was preaching, I don't know what Paul was preaching, but it was probably faith. It was probably miracles. It was probably breakthrough. It was probably, it's beginning to rain. So much so that it was whatever Paul preached, Paul couldn't take his eyes off him. He's preaching, but his eyes kept going back to this one man. Everybody heard Paul, but this man heard Paul. Paul, steadfastly beholding him, perceived as Paul was preaching, when this man is hearing it, this man is receiving it, this man is drinking it, this man is eating it, this man is living it, it's connecting. Man, get up. And the man jumped to his feet, a man who'd been crippled since the day he was born. What voice are you listening to? Sometimes you got to turn off the medical report. Sometimes you got to turn off the television. Sometimes you got to turn off Fox News. Sometimes you got to turn off CNN, MSNBC. Dear God, turn that trash off. Some of those negative stuff. Well, it's not a political comment. I'm just about the negativity of it all. Let me tell you, some of it's just crap. No, I mean it. I know you don't like me saying that, but the Bible actually uses that word. Paul says, I count things as dung. He says, it's just crap. And there's some stuff out there, we're just feeding ourselves on stuff that just puts negativity on our spirit. It's not helping us. What voice are you listening to? The voice you'll never change? The voice of maybe the stock market or the FTSE, 100, the Nikkei Dow, the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ? What voice are you listening to? Are you looking at your checkbook going, there's nothing because God can make something out of nothing? What are you listening to? Come on, get off the blog, get off that, and just get in the house of God, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Come on, you got to put yourself in a faith environment. You got to put yourself around people who've got a positive spirit, who've got an overcoming spirit. You got to make sure you put yourself in your work, in your social life, in your home. You got to create a faith environment. I'm preaching. Here's the next one, abundance. Everybody say abundance. I love this. In Matthew 13, verse 12, it says, "For to one who has, more will be given." Bernie Sanders needs to listen to this verse. "For the one who has, more will be given." For the one who has, not distribution of wealth. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? That doesn't mean we should be neglecting the people who are poor and needy. That's not what that verse is about. But there's a principle about how life flows. "For the one who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away." That's Jesus. That's Jesus. I would rather listen to Jesus than any philosopher of an economy. I would rather listen to Jesus. "For the one who has," some of you just got to get good with abundance. Some of you are just trying to think about survival. I hear the sound of heavy, abundant. "The one who has, more will be given." You got to get good with good. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're listening right now. I know somebody's receiving it. Somebody's hearing it. Somebody's getting faith on this word. It says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within you." That's the God that we serve. That's the God who we're connected to. That's the God who speaks to you. And you need to know his voice. He's not a little blessing. He's not just a little grace. It's grace upon grace, glory upon glory, blessing upon blessing, head not the tail, above and not beneath. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Whatever the world has, whatever the enemy brings up, God is more than enough. When Moses went before Pharaoh and Pharaoh threw down his scepter and it turned into a snake, then Moses throws down his rod and his snake ate up the other snakes. He is a God that is more than enough. He's a God that opened the Red Sea and swallowed the Egyptian. He's a God that turned the river into blood. He's a God that is more than enough. He's a God that brought frogs and locusts and plagues and all sorts of just God's provision and God's abundance to show Pharaoh that Pharaoh's no match for the King of Heaven, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is more than enough. Somebody needs to hear it. He's more than enough. Oh God, if I can just get to next month, if I could just pay the bills. No. That's not how God thinks. You need to hear it. God, if I can just get to the end of the year. God, if I could just get to this life, if I could just get to this income, then I could do that. No. God is an abundant God. And my concern is we settle for far less than what God wants us to believe for. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. Amen. And then let me finish with this thought. Singers, musicians, come on back. I hear the sound of an abundant rain. Do you know what rain does? Rain refreshes, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I love it when it's been really hot and then that afternoon thunderstorm comes in. How about you? And the rain comes. It refreshes you, doesn't it? You stand out there and go, oh, this is good. It's a funny thing in Virginia Beach, you can tell the tourist, because when that afternoon thunderstorm comes, all the tourists get off the beach, all the locals go, it'll be gone in 20 minutes. And then all the locals get their beach back. All the tourists run inside. God bless the tourists. Yeah, I'd run too. Yeah, go inside. Go to your hotel. Don't come out again. Praise the Lord. Rain refreshes. Rain washes dirt away. Rain quenches thirst. Rain brings life. Do you know what rain does? Rain brings growth. This is for somebody here today. Your company's going to grow. Listen to me. Those sales, I believe I'm speaking to somebody. The drought is over. Come on, the drought is over. I believe I'm speaking to somebody in your marriage. The drought is over. Rain causes things to grow. Who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes the grass grow on the mountains. If God can send rain to cause grass to grow on the mountain, what can he do in your life? Come on, the drought is over. I hear the sound of abundant rain. What are you hearing here? What are you hearing it here? What are you willing to birth in prayer? What are you willing to press through for? Come on, the drought is over. I hear the sound. Listen to what it says. Rain is a sign of blessing, in case you didn't know. For the ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation useful to those whose sake it is tilled, receives a blessing from God. Let me tell you something. Rain is a sign of blessing. Rain is determined by God. Look what it says in Job. It says, He has set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt. You know, God actually controls the rain. He speaks to the waters, you can come no higher. I know we got concerns about rising tides, and I think in some senses we probably should. But I think there's another side that you need to realize, that God says to the rain, you'll go no further. I set the boundaries. God has planned to bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking for my clock. It's on the ground. Shut up in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's my last scripture. You ready for this? You want one more scripture? I don't have one. Praise the Lord. That was it. I thought there was one more. Rain is what is needed to answer the drought. You see, Elijah said, because there was a drought in all of Israel. The drought became because the people of Israel were away from God. And God used the drought to bring them home and teach them to look to Him. And Elijah stands up in the drought. He says to King Ahab, hey King, it's going to rain. Better days are ahead. Breakthrough is coming. Blessing is coming. Come on, he prepared a whole nation. I'm just trying to prepare a whole church. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to get you ready for it. I'm trying to get you to understand it's coming. It's coming. It's anybody hearing this? Anybody hearing this? It's coming. I'm telling you, it's so real to me. It is so real to me. It is so, so real to me. It's coming in the name of Jesus. If you don't believe it, you'll never birth it. If you don't hear it, you'll never pray it through. I'm trying to speak to somebody here this morning and say, come on, you gotta hear it. And then it doesn't matter what you see. The servant comes back, nothing, doesn't matter, it's coming. Nothing's happening, doesn't matter, it's coming. Nothing happening, doesn't matter, it's coming. 21 days of prayer, but from the very first day, God answered his prayer. There's angels fighting for you, fighting for your kids, fighting for your marriage, fighting for that promotion. Come on, God, this one served you, they've been faithful. It's time we bless them. All right. But God sends an angel, and the angel's fighting through what it is, the powers of darkness trying to stop. And as you pray, I actually believe it gives strength to the prayer. It gives strength to the angel. God will send another angel. Hey, that demon's still slowing him down. Go and help him out. Some of you have got angels being sent to help angels, for the angel to get to you and tell you it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Come on, I hear the sound of abundant rain. I'm praying today somebody gets this. I'm praying steadfastly beholding you. You got it. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Better, more people saved in Wave Church than ever before. More people healed in Wave Church than ever before. More blessing in the house of God than ever before. It's going, going, going to rain. Come on, shout it out. It's going to rain. Come on, I hear the sounds. Come on, say, I hear the sounds. Come on, say, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Come on, if you believe it in every campus, get on your feet and let's give God praise.